The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, listen, the RGB Super Bundle promotion is still going on right now at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle is MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of exercise programming. You enroll in that, get on our forum, and we will give you MAPS Anywhere, that's our MAPS program, with no equipment required, for free. This promotion is not going to last very long. It's at mindpumpmedia.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
So you're going to hear us talk to a professional now, was it classic bodybuilder competitor?
Well, Johnny Sebastian, and he's done, he started at bantamweight bodybuilding.
Did physique.
Back in 2002, so he's been competing since 2002.
14 years.
Yeah, so he was a bodybuilder first, bantamweight, then he went into men's physique, and he just recently competed at Olympia at men's classics.
One of the best in the world.
So yeah, he's one of the few guys who has actually done men's physique and gone to Olympia, and then now done men's classic and gone to Olympia. And his new goal, which you're going to hear on this episode, he's going to talk about actually taking a year off and growing and going into the 212 Flex Lewis big boy division. And his ultimate goal is to be the first competitor ever to hit stage at men's physique, classic, and now 212 bodybuilding at the Olympia stage.
Awesome. He's a good guy. We go way back with him. Me and Adam worked with him back in the day. We've known him forever. He's a local, grew up in San Jose like we did. So
super humble, super great guy.
Super nice guy. We talked to him about his diet, his workouts, personal stuff. So without any further ado, you're going to hear us talking to Johnny Sebastian.
Let's get into Olympia. So you just got back. Literally, you flew in last night?
Flew in last night. I got in around 7:30.
Fuck, how do you feel right now?
Oh, dude. I mean, I just feel tired, drained, still dehydrated. I didn't drink enough water out there, I mean, combination of eating all the food and then the pool party the next day.
Dude, what's drinking. That? So what's that on Instagram? It's got that little Snapchat feature now?
Insta story.
Okay. So I clicked on yours, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it was 15 videos of food that you've been eating. And it was it ranged from like fucking ice cream to like just like donuts to...
So this was my Insta story, right?
So some of the craziest shit, it was all listed. Did you eat? You really ate all that stuff right afterwards?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you this. How much did you weigh in and how much did you end up gaining after eating all that
food? How much weight have you put on since stage time?
Oh, man, I think I put on about 15 pounds already this morning.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but it's all water weight, dude.
I know, but it's hilarious.
Well, I don't know if all that's water weight. Actually, it's funny you bring that up because they've just they've talked about that post-show because we're so sensitive to carbs and insulin sensitive because of how low you've been that your body actually can put on a lot more body fat than normal. So, in the past, we would say that, 3,500 calories or so is a pound of fat. So you would think in your head like, okay, well, I didn't eat more than 10,000 calories today, so I couldn't possibly put on 2 more pounds of fat. But I believe Lane Norton actually has done some cool studies on that it's actually not true, that because we are so sensitive, actually our body is ready to store because we're so sensitive because you've been pulling away the carbohydrates for so long.
Right. Well, I have to be a little extra careful because, I was doing keto for so long.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
So you're even more sensitive.
Yeah, the only carbs I really had was whenever I would get a refeed, whenever that would be like a week or 2 weeks. Sometimes I would go like 8 days, 10 days without a refeed. And my refeed would be pretty much like, a burger and fries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
It's all you needed.
How did you feel going ketogenic? And are you one of the only, bodybuilder, competitors that does that now? Because low carb has always been a part of bodybuilder diet, but keto or ketogenic, with the high fat, hasn't really been a big thing. One guy I can remember, who was it, Dave Palumbo? Did he do it, I think, a while ago?
Yeah, he was kind of like one of the pioneers to really like bring it into bodybuilding.
But he also did a shit ton of protein at the same time, which is a little different. I think he did, if I'm not mistaken.
He used to do a lot of protein. Now he's, I mean, as he refined his program and diet, he did reduce it a little bit, but...
What did you notice from doing that? Like, because you didn't do that before, right? This is the first time.
Keto?
Yeah.
Well, I noticed that my body fat reduced and it lowered a lot faster.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I noticed that I didn't really lose muscle, mm-hmm. you know, but I definitely didn't gain any muscle.
Sure.
During the cut, which is normal. The only negative thing that I saw about it was that I constantly felt flat, you know, like mm-hmm. during the gym, I didn't have that like that normal pump, you know, that great feeling of a pump during my workout. And, I mentally it was kind of hard to deal with, but, you know, I knew that after like a refeed day or something, the day after when I would work out, I'd feel like the pump would feel really good.
Would you notice any differences with recovery? I've had people say things like they feel less sore, or, you know, they don't get as sore or stiff or anything like that.
No.
Same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But for me, the hardest part of my body to get lean is my legs, you know, like my quads and my glutes and my hamstrings.
Which is funny because I feel like you have a lot of muscle down. You have great legs. Normally when someone's kind of soft in there, you've got great legs.
So I have that's where I store a lot of body fat, you know, so that's always been the last place for me to go mm-hmm. as far as lose. But when I used to carb cycle, I would never get that place lean, that area. But once I got on keto, became shredded.
Oh, wow. Wow. Excellent.
Do you find it easier for you to follow that? I found when I went keto, being able to allow myself to have that much fat, I felt more satiated. I felt better, where when I'm carb cycling or I'm running like a low carb diet, I feel like I'm craving a lot and I'm like dying to have food. Where keto, I felt like it wasn't like same exact thing. I noticed that I didn't have the same massive pumps, you know, it was flatter.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of bothered me a little bit, the mental side of it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't notice the crazy cravings. And when I carb cycle, I get those like dreams. I dream about sugars and food, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you notice that at all?
I noticed it. I still had the cravings, you know?
You did?
Yeah, even on keto. But I wasn't, you know, what I noticed was I didn't have so many ups and downs and like blood sugar. I didn't feel tired and then energized.
More consistent.
Yeah, it was more consistent, even flow. So, yeah, we did that. We also had to do a lot of like calorie cycling within the diet.
Oh, so you like undulated your calories.
Yeah, so some days we would go, you know, a little bit higher fat, and the protein always stayed the same, but some days we would go higher in fat as far as like the oils and stuff mm-hmm. like that, and the nuts. And then some days we would go strictly protein, vegetable. We would go no fat, you know, like maybe 2 days no fat right before the refeed. And then we do a refeed.
Interesting.
And then we go back to protein, vegetable. And then we go back to protein, fat, protein, fat, protein, fat, protein, vegetable, protein, vegetable, protein, fat, protein, fat.
I see. So it's constantly changing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because my metabolism is so adaptive, dude. Like once it sees like 2 or 3 days of a calorie, like a specific calorie intake, it'll stay.
Yeah.
You know, because I've done so many shows. So it's like it just stays.
Super.
That's actually a good, an interesting point you brought up. You've done a lot of shows in a short period of time,
mm-hmm.
right? This was, what number was this in a 12-month period, for example?
This was show number six.
Six.
Wow.
Well, yeah. I mean, people don't realize how brutal it is getting ready for show, everything from the cardio to the dieting. Does that start to take a toll on you? Does your body stop responding? You know, because I hear people say that, like, I need to take time off. My body stops responding, or I feel like I'm...
Yeah.
Is that happening?
Yeah. With this show, it definitely did, you know, because I noticed that it was just, you know, for instance, I did have to increase my cardio to, like, two hours of cardio a day.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Like, towards the end of the prep, you know, I really had to watch my refeeds, because if I would refeed too much, or if I would refeed on just a little bit too many carbs, I would hold... Yeah, your body definitely adapts, man.
Who did you have in your corner? I know you've cycled through different coaches, and you've always had, I know Omar, just being one of your best friends, mm-hmm. you guys are always working together, but mm-hmm. who were you all working with? Like, is everything from program design to your nutrition to pose?
This time around for diet and everything was Ariel from...
Cuts.
Yeah, Cuts.
Okay, right on. Mm-hmm. And was this the first show, or did you do a show before with him?
The last... four shows was with him.
Okay.
So including the Olympia, the last five shows, because I did six shows.
Now, what have you, you've had quite a few now. I'm interested in your, and I don't want you to, I'm not asking you to roll anybody under the bus or anything like that, but you know, what were some of the things you've learned through each of them, like as far as your experience with all the different coaching and the different nutrition and the different type of strategies that they've all applied? You know, what have you personally learned about all that?
You know, a lot of the stuff, you know, I already kind of knew, you know, but
of course you're well read for the average bodybuilder.
So when I prep myself, it's almost like when you know too much, you can kind of screw yourself over because you're constantly thinking,
overanalyzing
your body. Your mind is constantly like a hamster wheel thinking about the following day or the next 7 days. And you know, you're calculating all these different things that you're going to do over the next 7 days. But then you wake up the next morning and you don't like what you see. So you change up your whole plan for the next 7 days. So your plan for the next 7 days never really went through because now you're changing it up. And before you know it, you're screwing yourself over because your mind's playing all these tricks on you, and you know all these things. So I'm going to up this, I'm going to lower this, up that. And then it just mentally drains you, dude. So that's why, you know, I, with the whole keto thing and me not knowing too much about keto, you know, I went with Ariel, and Ariel's kind of like guided me through it. And he's, you know, allowed me to take kind of like a break as far as thinking about what I'm going to do for the next 7 days. It was pretty much all in his hands, you know?
It's got to be relieving to give control to someone else, especially when you're prepping and working out and dieting and doing all that stuff. Yeah. I can only imagine putting the extra stress on yourself mentally.
For sure. That was the most stressful thing for me, was being alone in that, to have to like assess myself and then make the decision. Like, it was so important that I photographed myself every day. I tracked everything. And then if I committed to a like, okay, I'm going to be doing this for the next week, that just like Johnny said, I wouldn't allow like a bad day to fuck with me, because I learned really quick that if my hormone levels were slightly off, or I took in, you know, six more cups of water that day, or 500 extra milligrams of sodium, it could easily change the visual the next day, you know, or even stress. I didn't sleep very well. Like, all these things could manipulate my body to look a little bit different the next day when I'm waking up expecting that I'm going to look better, and you don't, just like you said, like, you mind fuck yourself and you're like, oh shit, I need to do this. Where I always was constantly having to like talk to myself, like, okay, stick to the plan, don't let it get in your head. So
and now you're competing in a division where you can display some of your body parts that before you couldn't, right? When you're in physique,
right?
They were covered, right. Your training must have changed, I'm assuming, right? I know you've always worked out your legs, but did you change your training now knowing that you were going to be, you know, really presenting those?
Yeah, I mean, I in men's physique, my arms were too big. Now I could train my arms, you know? And then in men's physique, I really didn't have to train my legs because I didn't want my legs to grow out of my shorts. But now, you know, I do have legs, but I need detail in my legs. So I started training just to, you know, build the leg muscle, because there's no exercise that's going to build detail in your legs. You guys already know that. Yeah. You just have to hit them hard and get the muscle to grow, and that's what's going to make the detail, you know. So that's what I worked on most was those two things.
Yeah, because I think did you notice any overall growth stimulation from that? I've heard people say, you know, now that I'm working, you know, my legs out real hard, I noticed that the rest of my body's responding more as a result, especially with things like squats.
I didn't notice too much. But, I mean, because even when I was doing men's physique, I was still training my legs, you know, once a week.
Well, I would like to know your weight difference between your last men's physique show and then now a classic show. What's your weight difference between those two categories?
About 10 pounds.
10 pounds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to compete soon again? Or are you waiting to take some time?
No. So I promised myself to take all of 2017 off.
So you're going to take a whole year off?
Take a whole year off,
And yeah. What's the focus during that year?
Well, the first half of the year is just going to focus on just getting my health, you know, focus on health and just everything about being healthy, you know?
What does that mean for you?
You know, like the first 2 or 3 weeks, you know, I'm going to lower my protein a little bit, you know, just to give my kidneys and everything a rest. My training, I'm going to bring down to like 4 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cardio, 20 minutes, maybe 3 or 4 times a week.
Sure, sure.
You know, I'm still going to keep, and I'm going to keep a variety of, you know, of all the assortment of fats in there. I'm going to bring some carbs back into the diet, you know, some veggies, some fruits and stuff.
Just more variety.
More variety, you know. And then just give the body a rest, man, you know. And then after that,
you taking a break on supplements too, or are you still, you think you can take your, all your pre-workouts, all your stuff that you normally take?
I'm totally taking a break off like all my stimulants and all that stuff. Taking a break off of as many supplements as I can, you know, just keeping a standard like multivitamin, omega-3s, omega-6s, stuff like that.
Yeah, you'd be surprised at how much stimulants in particular will just downregulate the hell out of receptors in the brain that react to them. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, your regular dose doesn't do shit for you and it just keeps you normal.
Right, right.
So taking a break is very, very important. I think what will end up happening because of that is you'll come out of that, take your supplements again, and it's going to be like fucking brand new, man. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Everything's going to, you know, start kicking off in a high gear again.
Yeah, so.
Are you going to change your lifts? Are you going to change the type of lifts you do? You know, focus more on, you know, functionality or more on barbell lifts? Are you going to incorporate different types of training?
Well, the first few weeks, I'm going to try to just keep it, you know, I'm definitely not going to go heavy as heavy as I used to for the last, you know, 4 weeks, because my joints and everything, I've been banging at them for like so long, you know. So I'm going to give that a rest for a little bit, just doing general exercises, but just to get a pump. After I'm done with that, about 4 or 5 weeks of that, I'm pretty much going to start focus on growing because I don't know if I told you this, but to get to 165 for classic physique was pretty much like almost impossible for me to get down to.
Oh.
Because I was stuck at about 175.
So you just want to, your body wants to be bigger.
171, you know? So I had to suck
and
it
that's
down.
Where you need to be for that, for the category, right? You
have
to, so for you, it's a hard cut.
Wait, hold, well, how do they determine that? What do you mean by that?
By
you
your had height.
To be a, you're
so
shitting
I'm
me.
5'5". So for 5'5", they say you can't be heavier than 165.
Oh, well, that's...
Yeah, if you're 5'6", you can't be heavier than 170.
So you either got to grow an inch or just fucking deal with it.
Yeah, so, you know, I put everything in... I gave everything a lot of thought, and, you know, I looked at my photos on stage, and, like, I've got the structure there, but I seem to be a little flat. And the only reason why I'm a little flat is because...
You're so sucked out.
I'm
trying to come
down.
I'm
so sucked down to 165, right? And I look at myself, and I'm thinking, like... I like the look that I have when I'm in the gym, when I have a nice pump, you know, I'm full of, you know, carbs, I'm full of water. I look like the shape is actually filled out. It looks a lot better, but that's at about 175, you know? So if I take a whole year off and I continue to train the way I train, I'm just going to get bigger and bigger.
That's all. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So but the next thing would just be go up to the 212 division.
Whoo, you know? The big boys.
Yeah.
Are you thinking about doing that?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Oh, you are going to do it.
That was my original plan after Men's Physique. And then Classic Physique came out, and I was like, oh, perfect. You know, I could
intermediate.
I could do Classic Physique. But now that I'm at Classic Physique and I've grown so much since then, I'm only going to continue to grow over the next year after taking the year off. You know, so you look at guys in the 212 division who are smaller and who are doing well, like this guy named Sean Clarita. He's only like 5'1". He weighs in at 159.
Mm-hmm.
And he made it to the Olympia stage in the 212 division.
Oh, wow. So you don't have to be 212. You could come in at 180, 190.
Exactly.
Oh, that's the limit.
And look dope. Yeah. You just can't be over 212.
Yeah. So,
or you jump into the big boys.
That's right up your alley.
So just imagine me on stage at a full-blown,
like,
you know,
180,
190.
Yeah.
Which I can do, and I don't have to worry about cutting weight. I don't have to worry about making weight, weighing in 2 days before the show and then loading up my carbs. You know, I just have to worry about how I need to look on stage.
Yeah.
You know, because there's no way I'm going to have to make weight at 212. There's no way.
I always felt that I got kind of caught in the same predicament too, because I remember my second show I did, the judges said that was too big. And so I had to come into every show flat. Like I literally like intentionally came in with this flat look. Otherwise I was getting docked all the time for looking too big. So I never felt like I ever got to present my favorite physique, like what I like to look at. So I totally get how that feels. That sucks when you're being told that you have to be to fit in this certain size, when really your body probably looks its best with an extra 10, 15 pounds on
exactly,
top of it.
Exactly,
so,
exactly, yeah.
You don't want to fight your body's strengths, I think. I think when you start to work with your strengths, you probably look a lot better. Body parts of focus going into that, because you're going to be putting on a lot of muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to put it all on evenly, or are there areas that you really want to develop more to stand out? Because I know in bodybuilding, like the big body parts that really win contests are like what, back, legs, you know, that kind of stuff. Anything in particular you're going to focus on, or is it just overall keep everything looking the same and just keep growing everything the same?
Well, you know, I've always needed to bring up my chest. So, you know, I'm going to focus on keeping my chest full. My back, it used to be a strong point, but over the last five shows, it's kind of shrunk just from, you know, being just from doing all the cardio and then the low calories and show to show to show. So I definitely want to get my back up and get it a lot wider. That's pretty much it.
You incorporating deadlifts into your routine at all?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, mostly rack pulls.
Okay.
Yeah.
How come not off the floor? I've seen a lot of your peers say the same thing, that they do just rack pulls. Is there a particular reason?
Yeah. Well, no particular reason. It's just, you know, I like the movement, you know, and I like how it stimulates my back.
Do you do it before, at the beginning or end of your workout?
Kind of like as my second exercise.
Okay, so warm up, get in there.
Warm up and then do a rack pulls.
There's a variation of, you're the only person I've ever seen do this exercise. I don't even know what it's called, but you do like a row to deadlift combo, right? What is that?
Like three barbell rows, go down on the fourth barbell row and come up and do a deadlift.
Yeah, do you guys name that? Is that yours?
No, Omar actually kind of.
Yeah, you named it Ventura Rose.
The Ventura Rose, yeah.
The Ventura Rose, yeah. It's the first time I'd ever seen it.
Yeah.
It's a traditional deadlift is a movement, right? So you're focusing on perfecting the movement. You're not really trying to feel any muscle.
Mm-hmm.
But the way you're doing that deadlift with the Rose, I can see watching your form, you're really activating the lats in the deadlift aspect of it. You're like squeezing back with the lats. So it's very different than like traditional deadlift. It's almost like, I don't know how to say it. It looks like you're really squeezing back, trying to get more of that lat pump.
Right.
At the top.
Yeah, and the reason why that exercise, the reason why I incorporate it is because I feel that it enhances my rear lat spread shot and my rear double bicep shot, because right before you hit each pose, you know, you're pretty much coming back, you're pulling back, and you're showing the Christmas tree and you're arching your lower back.
And that's like that top part of the
deadlift. And that's what you want. You want all that thickness down there in the erectors and, you know, in the insertion of your lats. So I feel that exercise really helps bring out that detail, you know, to hit that shot right before you're going to hit that shot.
Flex Wheeler did a version of a deadlift on the Smith machine. I know most of our listeners are cringing right now, but he would do something where he would almost do a deadlift on a Smith machine. I don't know if you ever saw this.
No.
He would use a Smith machine, he'd come up and he'd squeeze back, like Johnny's saying, to get that feel, that connection to that Christmas tree look or whatever. And he kind of popularized it for a second.
And his Christmas tree was amazing, man. I mean, it was gnarly.
Yeah, you can't.
Well,
that's
one of the best physiques, in my opinion, of all time. Right?
Wheeler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, symmetry-wise and muscle development, I think he had one of the most gorgeous physiques ever. I mean,
speaking of which, do you have any current competitors that you like to kind of emulate yourself after or you look up to?
What are some of your favorite physiques?
Current physiques right now?
Yes.
I like Flex Lewis's physique.
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
Well, he just looks like a mini Dorian with better arms.
Yeah, he's been able to put on... He's been able to max out his weight while keeping pretty lines, you know. He's not distorted or anything
How tall is Flex?
I think he's 5'5".
Oh, okay.
5'5 or 5'4".
And he's in the 212, and he looks like he hits close to that.
Well, he barely makes weight at like 211 pounds.
Oh, shit. He's a big, big son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of your top physiques?
Yeah. Him. I mean, of the past, I like Lee Labrada's, you know, physique, his shape. You know, Flex Wheeler.
What about Lee Priest?
Sean Ray. Lee Priest, yeah, he's a little on the freakier side, you know? But I think, like, Sean Ray's physique is amazing. You know, Frank Zane, all those guys.
Awesome.
I love Zane.
Who, was that your favorite?
Yeah, yeah. I was just telling him off air before you had walked in that, because Sadiq this year did Men's Classic, and he used to be a men's physique competitor that used to compete against Johnny. And I didn't even know. So can you explain? Can you talk about this a little bit? I always knew that if Phil Heath, you take first place in Olympia, you're automatically qualified to come to Olympia the next year. You don't have to do a show or anything all year long, mm-hmm. right? And you're automatically mm-hmm. qualified. But this year, and only this year, they allowed any of the top five, just men's physique people or anybody top five in anything could
could hop into Classic? How did Sadiq get a chance to go to the Olympia and compete at Classics without ever having to do a Classic show? I don't understand that.
Because the Classic Physique division, because it was the birth this year, and they wanted to fill that division with people, you know, they gave Sadiq pretty much the opportunity to go ahead and cross over since he's already qualified to step on the Olympia stage for men's physique, you know, so they gave him that opportunity to go ahead and go over, you know. So I think if anyone else in the top five from last year's Olympia wanted to go over to Classic Physique, they probably would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
But it was only for this year.
That's funny to me.
Yeah. For next year, that won't happen.
See, what? That's weird to me. That's weird to me that you, for 1 year, you get to do it, but then yeah. No other year. So
you think it's to encourage people to who want to move over? Or?
Well, yeah. And you know what? I mean, even on the...
It sounds like a little favoritism to me.
Even on the NPC level, you know, they say, okay, when you do an NPC show, you can cross over. You could do both divisions. You could do Classic and you can do men's physique, or you could do bodybuilding. You could do whatever you want just to figure out where you actually belong and what division. But after next year, we're not going to be able to do these crossovers just for this year.
So let's say I decide in 2017 that I want to hop into Classics. Does that mean I'm going to have to start back at the amateur level of Classics and work my way up? Or because I'm a pro, will I still be able to at least jump over to pro level Classics?
Yeah, you'll be able to jump over to Classic for sure right now.
Okay, so I could still do that. I wouldn't. Yeah. You're not. I thought you were saying that if you were to go over and make a switch, because I've never done Classics, that I'd have to start back at the amateur level and work my way back up. So you could still make a pro crossover.
Yeah,
you just wouldn't be qualified for Olympia unless you.
Right. Yeah,
got you. Now, what did you think about the men's physique division? What do you think about Jeremy Buendia winning again?
I think he deserved it.
I did too.
He
deserved it.
I called that months in advance.
But he looked big. He looked big.
He looked awesome.
He looks like he's classic.
He's about 190, dude.
How tall is he?
He's about 5'6", 5'7".
Yeah.
Dude, he looks like he should be competing in Classic, no?
Yeah.
Well, actually, he's fucking huge.
If he were to do Classic, he wouldn't make weight.
He wouldn't.
That's what I'm saying.
He'd be too big for Classic.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Because he's a lot bigger. I mean, I don't know. I don't follow the sport super closely, but he looks a lot bigger than he did before when he won last time. How was he? Do you know if he was heavier?
I don't know.
Yeah, he was heavier. He came in.
Legs got a lot bigger. I mean, I know he doesn't show legs, but on his Instagram,
he's always had some pretty good legs underneath. Because he did, you know, way back when Johnny first started, Jeremy was competing back in those days, right? Jeremy was doing bodybuilding back when you were doing bodybuilding, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a few years on him. I know he's younger than us, but I know he's been competing for a very long time.
Yeah.
And he started in bodybuilding, and then when men's physique division came out, he hopped over there. Mm. But I here's the way I look at it. Like, you know, because it's so hard to say who fits in what category, right? Like, who has, because Classic and men's physique, it's so blurry to me now.
It seems that way.
Yeah, it's so closely related to me. And I really feel like, guys like that could hop in either way. What I think is impressive and why I think he deserved it was, the last 3 years, I feel like every package he's brought to that Olympia stage has been better than the previous year. That to me is why he deserves to win the title. And I know a lot of people are haters and aren't big fans of him. What about that? You know, I'm not like a Jeremy Buendia fan, but I'll give someone respect when I see them continue. Because when you get to that level, when you're at the professional level, and Johnny can attest to this, like, to continue to progress your physique every year is fucking tough, man. And I feel like his physique was better this year. Did you think so?
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Fuller, harder.
Yeah, he leaner. He looked dope.
Now, yeah. I didn't pay attention to the bodybuilding side. How was that? It was Phil won again, right?
Yeah, what about that?
Phil won. Yeah, he deserved the win.
You thought so? Even over Roden?
Yeah.
Sean Roden. I saw it.
Well, I saw it live while it was being streamed, but you know, just to compare both, I mean, number one, to dethrone Mr. Olympia,
you have to crush him.
He's got
to
be off, and you got to crush him.
Yeah,
that's true. That's the only time it's ever happened.
Phil was on this weekend, you know, and he
more so than he was last year.
More so than he was last year. He was off last year, but this year he was on. He was full. He was hard. There was no way he was going to get dethroned.
And I like that you said that, because I feel the same way about this, because a lot of people hate on that. Like, when you're the champ, I feel like you work so hard to earn that, that it shouldn't be so easy just to give it up. Like when, like I remember last year, people were going back and forth between him and Kai Greene and like, oh, Kai was better. It's like, dude, that is so close. And we could take different parts of their bodies and argue all day long who's better. Mm-hmm. And the motherfucker's the champion already. Like, I feel like it should be indecisive, just like in boxing. Like, if you watch a boxing
match.
Yeah,
if you want to beat the champ, you have to kind of knock him out.
Yeah,
you're going to get the decision.
Yeah, the decision should go to the champ. Like, he already worked that hard to get to that point, earn that throne. Like, if you're going to dethrone him, you have to, you know, dethrone him completely. Mm-hmm. It has to be an ass whooping.
Some people argue just got to go to the better man, but, you know, it's a judge sport. It's subjective, so.
It's too subjective.
It's super, I mean, that's all, it's 100% subjective. There is no objective, you know, win. In a judge sport, like figure skating or boxing or bodybuilding, you know, they're on stage and judges are going to determine who wins. You're the champion. You automatically get points.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about that.
Any outcome surprise you?
Yeah, well, we already talked about it, but, you know, Ahmad in the 212 division, like he came out of nowhere, the guy from Kuwait.
The Oxygen team.
What's up with those guys?
And he just freaking comes in and sweeps house and takes second place and gives Flex Lewis a run for his money because, you know, they kept comparing and comparing and comparing. And I mean, I don't know if you saw the guy's lat spread, but when he opened up his lat spread next to Flex, he blew Flex out of the water, dude.
You're kidding me.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It was a cobra back, dude.
So his back is better than Flex's.
Oh, yeah. Let me try to like pull it up.
Well, so that's not good then, because here's what happens throughout history in bodybuilding. A someone will be up and coming and will challenge the shit out of the champion, but they won't win. The following year is when they get their shot.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if he comes back next year looking the way he did
and
now,
that's very...
And backs win competition.
This is very, very much so how judging happens in NPC and IFBB, I feel like. And that's, I think a lot of people think there's so much politics that it's so political. But no, this is kind of how they judge, is that if you're the new kid on the block, I remember my very first show, I came
out. They can't give it to you.
They didn't want to give it. They didn't want to give me national qualifying the very first show. I took fourth. You know, they're going to give you third because then I can go right on to the next level, right? Yeah. I had to come back and earn it. You know what I'm saying? And to me, I get it. You know what I'm saying? I get it that, you know, that somebody, they're going to make that person come back and prove they can bring that physique or better.
Holy shit.
Does he look sick or what?
Bro, it doesn't even look, that looks crazy.
That whole Oxygen squad, man.
Yeah, what is going on? Because those guys are coming back and they look ridiculous.
I didn't even know.
They look silly.
I didn't even know who this guy was.
Yeah.
I didn't even, wow. Wow.
That's crazy, dude.
That looks like, and he was in the 212?
Yeah.
That looks like a back on a 280-pound bodybuilder.
Dude, I walked next to him at the Olympia Gala after the dinner.
Mm-hmm.
He was, I was looking down at the top of his head, and I'm short.
Right.
That's how short he is.
Wow. So what's, are you going to be heading over to Kuwait in your off season? Do some training over there?
Yeah.
At that gym?
It's that oxygen over there. They just got some great oxygen over there, I guess.
I don't know what's going on, but these guys are coming back and they're looking crazy. What about Rolly? How did Rolly do?
Oh, yeah. How did he do?
I think he got top five.
I didn't see him. I was trying to figure out where he was placed at. So if he got top five, that means three of the five guys that were representing the Oxygen team in Kuwait took top five.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
Camel meat.
Yeah, camel meat. their source of protein is from camels.
Yeah, they're eating camel meat.
That's something, man.
So now that you're taking, because you do lots of competitions close to each other. You did, what'd you say, seven?
Well, I did seven. No, I did six this year.
Six this year.
The year prior was, I don't even know how many shows. And the year prior to that, I mean...
You're just a competing machine.
Ever since I got my pro card in 2013, I haven't stopped. You know, so I haven't really had a real rested off season where I haven't competed.
Well, there's a benefit and a detriment to that. Obviously, the detriment is to your body, your mental health, because it's just fucking crazy.
Right.
Although. I could easily argue that you obviously love it, otherwise you wouldn't do it so often.
Yeah.
But the second the positive is, you know, in a sport like bodybuilding or physique or, you know, classic, unless you're like first place all the time, to stay relevant, you have to compete a lot. And through all this competition, like, you know, you've built your brand quite a bit because you're like a workhorse.
Yeah.
You know, you're always appearing on stage and competing. And that's a good strategy, in fact.
You need to throw up a picture of your little trophy case. It's been a while since I've seen you post that. You must have a fucking crazy...
Dude, it doesn't even fit on my mantle anymore. Like, I have medals of, like, so many different medals from all the pro shows.
Yeah.
That I just throw them on top of like all the trophies necks, and there's just no place to put them. I mean,
you've got to have one of the bigger collections that I've ever seen out of any other pros. That how many shows and times you've placed.
Yeah.
And I remember you did a video or shot it probably 2 years ago, and it was mm-hmm. crazy. So I can't imagine how many you've done the last 2 years. How much it's added.
It's over like 40 trophies, dude. I mean,
damn.
Trophies and medals, and all of them. I mean. Obviously, the only way to get a trophy or a medal is to be in the top five.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean...
They don't give you a participation medal?
No ribbons, dude.
Good job. I was about to compete. I'd like a couple medals.
You know, what makes Johnny kind of interesting to talk to, too, when we talk bodybuilding is it's really different compared to myself and like Craig Caperso and other guys that we talk. You know, Craig is similar to me where, you know, I got into bodybuilding with no passion whatsoever with it, with just the desire for business to use it as a platform where you actually have a real passion.
Yeah, Johnny's, you love it.
Yeah.
It's your thing, man.
Yeah.
You know, you'll probably be in bodybuilding forever. I mean, even after you're done competing, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's obvious. It's obvious that you love it. You've been doing it for, how long have you been doing it now?
Since 2002. So
Holy shit.
I started at 19 years old.
Yeah. And how old are you now?
I'll be 34 this year.
34. So you're not old yet for bodybuilding. You're kind of in that. That's kind of like the sweet spot, right? Like the 30s is when you start to.
So for kids that are like you, that have a passion for it and that it just can't, we have a lot on our forum, right? We have a forum that a bunch of Mind Pump listeners.
We've got about 100 competitors or aspiring competitors.
I'd say 200 or 300 on there. That are aspiring competitors or already current competitors.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of young guys that are like 18, 19 that are just trying to grow and build. They know they got to build a physique first. You know, what are some advices that you have for these? These guys are passionate about wanting to compete right now. What are some advices and things that you've learned along the way?
When you first start out, you know, you're like a sponge, man. So just, you know, you're going to learn a lot. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. You're going to learn a lot about your body. Every year you learn a little bit more about your body. Take your time with competing. I made the mistake of, you know, just, I don't know if I made a mistake, but I just kept going and going and going, you know, and that's how I advanced so fast, you know. Just take your time. It takes years. You guys know it takes years to put muscle on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I started out competing at 125 pounds, my first show.
I remember, dude, you worked for me.
Yeah.
You were a little shredded guy.
Yeah, 125 pounds, and I won the bantamweights for the Mr. San Jose competition. And then that's when I got the bodybuilding bug, and I kept going. And next time I was on stage, I was 135, then 145. You know, so it just takes years, but you know, 3 to 5 pounds of muscle on a frame makes you look like you put on like 10 to 15 pounds of muscle.
When you're lean, definitely.
When you're lean. So,
absolutely.
I want to elaborate. That's a very good point you just made, that 3 to 5 pounds. And that's, we try and tell people this all the time, like when they expect, like they change a new program or they start following a diet.
Except when you first start, right? You get those newbie gains.
Yeah.
Right? But then after that, it's like, okay, now it's
which that's
time.
Like what, the first 6 months. And then once that's kind of
slows down.
Yeah. Then it slows down dramatically. And then as a professional bodybuilder, I'm excited if I can get anywhere between 3 to 10 pounds, and 10 is ridiculous. I mean, most bodybuilders aren't getting that much, but you know, so, and I always try and explain this to kids that are coming up that, you know, and we're talking about professional bodybuilders where most of us are taking all kinds of anabolics and hormones to add this size on. Imagine you trying to be a natural kid and you're wondering why you're not putting 15, 20 pounds on a year. It just doesn't work that way. It's a lot of fucking hard work and dedication.
Yeah.
Which is also why I get frustrated when people think that, oh, it's just the hormones thing or it's just steroids. It's like, listen, you could take all that shit you want and it's still a game of inches. You know, it's still the game of inches of adding a half a pound to a pound or getting a little bit leaner this time than you were last time. So it's this constant grind that never, never stops. Mm-hmm. What about like relationships, dude? What's it like being somebody who's got to be competing that much? How taxing is that for relationships?
Oh, it's very taxing, man. I mean, relationships, whether they be, you know, with a significant other or relationships with your friends, family, even if you have kids. I don't even have kids, and I know it's detrimental for that too, because I talked to other competitors, and you know, even after like 3 shows in a year, they're like, I gotta take time off from competing, man, because it's screwing up my relationship with my wife. I don't have any time for my kids, you know. I'm always tired, work is suffering. Because bodybuilding, you know, when you're prepping for a show, you know that if you want to be the best, you know, it's bodybuilding first, and you have to do it precisely, dude. Like, everything has to be done at 100%. Your cardio, your diet, your posing, everything revolves around it, you know? And if you don't, if you give it like 95% for diet, you know, 60% for cardio, you know, 70% for training, you're not going to come in 100%,
yeah.
You know? So that's kind of the mentality you kind of have to have if you want to be number one. And, you know, the people around you, your significant other, you know, your friends and your family, they have to kind of understand that that's, we can't really take it personal, but that's how it's going to be while this guy's in prep, you know? Yeah. But after you get off prep is the time that you give back, you know, to your friends, family, significant other, you know?
One thing
that I learned, though, is that over the past 3 years is I never really took time off.
Yeah.
Therefore, I never really had an off season to give back, you know? Yeah. So, and I did get caught up with, you know, constantly competing and on the grind for being back on the Olympia stage and chasing that dream, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I've had relationships suffer from it, you know, breakups and stuff suffer, you know, as a result. And, you know, I learned a lot from that. And that's a huge reason why I'm taking this whole next year off, you know, is not only do I need to give a break and give back to my friends, family, you know, significant other, whatnot, but I need to give time back to myself, to, you know, to kind of regain, like, hey, man, this is, how about time for Johnny, you know?
And you, another thing that's really impressive about you is you actually work a full-time job while you do this.
Right, yeah.
So a lot, I don't know how much you talk about that or a lot of people know that about you, but that's always been one of the most impressive things that I think is for someone to get to your level to where you're getting on the Olympia stage like that and you actually work 40, 50 hours a week on top of all the training and dieting. I find that crazy, dude, that you can do that.
Yeah, it's a minimum of 40 hours a week. For those of you guys who don't know what I do, I'm a probation officer, and our job is pretty demanding as far as, you know, working a case though, because, you know, we work our 40 hours, but sometimes we got to, you know, do a little bit more investigation on a case, and we got to, you know, put in an extra hour or two overtime just to kind of like submit a court report on time because, you know, one of the guys committed, you know, an attempted murder over the weekend, and you got to submit this investigation report to the court because this guy has to be seen in front of a judge within the next 72 hours. So now you're, you know, there goes your whole schedule. So it's just a lot of balancing of that. But I've gotten it seems impossible until you do it.
Yeah.
And you somehow find a way to make it all fit.
Well, you must have created very good habits.
You gotta be regimented as hell.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I mean, you gotta see my phone in my notes. I have my whole entire schedule of like what I do from, you know, taking a shit in the morning at what time to what time I take each supplement to what time I have each meal to everything, you know, and to work, to getting off, to going to the gym, cardio, prepping my stuff, getting ready for the next day of work, you know, like it's all calculated in there. So it's so taxing, man. And I mean, 3 years of it is just.
Would you ever consider, like, I mean, in a perfect world, would you just compete and actually be able to, like, be sponsored and just do that? Or do you like the fact that you have a job that's separate from that world? Or would you love to actually, like, hey, if someone would pay me a salary, I mean, I would love to just compete and focus on my body and do that?
Yes and no. I mean, in a perfect world, if I could compete and not work and like most bodybuilders, professional bodybuilders, I'd love to do that because, you know, rest is such a huge part of, you know, making the gains and making progress. With me, I don't really have that time to, I don't have the luxury of waking up, doing my cardio, training a body part, eating, going home, taking 4 naps, going back to the gym at night and training, you know. I don't have that luxury, so it would be nice, but at the same time, bodybuilding is not going to be around forever, you know? And with my job, it gives me something to kind of take my mind away from bodybuilding. And I have good retirement, you know, good retirement, good insurance. So that's something that's going to be with me forever.
No, you're being smart.
Yeah.
It's, I'll predict some challenges for you because you've been competing for so long and you've been on this crazy regimen for so long that now you're taking time off and you're going to find yourself with more time on your hands to do different things. It's going to drive you crazy.
Yeah, I mean, like this morning I woke up and, you know, I already looked at kind of like my list of things to do. And like, I'm going through it and I'm erasing all these things that I would do on a daily prep schedule, you know? And now that I'm training 4 days a week for the next 2 weeks, it's like even driving me even more crazy. Like, what am I going to do?
Do you have a day still written in there that you can read off? Do you have a day like so everyone can hear what it was?
Oh yeah. I mean,
read a crazy day of like, what it looks like from morning to night. Let's
wake up, take shit.
Yeah. I want to hear like from supplement taking to all your food to,
I mean, I'll just let you look at it, dude. I mean, you can read it off, but
yeah, leave out the personal stuff.
Yeah.
Watch porn, masturbate, 4 p.m.
Yeah.
he tracks all that too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just one day starting from like a protein, fat, carb day, you know.
Is he allowed to read it? You mind if he reads it? No.
Yeah.
Don't give away a shit.
Yeah. Wow. Jesus Christ, dude. This is just one day right here?
That's one day. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to be.
You don't have a Cliff Notes version of this?
No.
This is one day?
That's one day.
Oh my God, I wouldn't read this. I couldn't read this. There's too much.
And
dude,
I checkmark every single little thing I do in there. And holy, that's how precise I stay. That's what helps me stay so accurate with everything. You know?
Oh, wait till you see this, Shal. Yeah. I couldn't. I know the listeners right now are wishing that I would read to them. I couldn't read this to you guys. It would take up half the episode. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like taking time off and trying to, like, you're probably going to struggle with that. Like, what do I fucking do?
Well, a lot of people, you know, a lot of people have already talked to me about this.
Scroll down. Just
a lot of people have already talked to me about this, and they said, like, dude, you're gonna have some struggle like not knowing what to do with yourself now, because you know, I was so regimented in that and stuck in that, you know, that schedule of my lifestyle. So I've got a lot of figuring out to do over the next you know, year.
Bro, I've been scrolling the whole time. I finally hit the bottom.
I told you I couldn't read it to the audience if they wanted me to.
No, yeah, no, they'd get bored. They'd have to, it's just too much. So yeah, I mean, here's what I'll tell you. You know, I tell you what, with this time off, it might be a great opportunity to focus on things that you know, aren't necessarily directly going to affect, you know, bodybuilding in terms of how you look and stuff, but maybe things that'll affect it indirectly, like meditation, yoga, maybe working with you. Are you thinking about doing anything like that? Like anything that's kind of weird or different that you think might benefit you? Or is there anything on the horizon that you might even consider?
No, just for now. Like, I don't want to get too ahead of myself.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to kind of take it like week by week, you know?
Mm-hmm. I would love for him to let us get a hold of him with that type
of stuff. That's what I'm trying to tell him. Like,
fucking come on, bro.
Have you tried like hot, cold, like hot steam, cold shower, cold dip? Have you done anything like that consistently ever?
No.
You fucking love it.
You would
fucking love it. Yeah, you'd absolutely love it. I've been doing it now for about 2 months because I've been reading a lot of science on that stuff, and your body adapts to those stresses like anything else, and then I notice benefits in my workouts too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of things like that. I'm wondering if you start incorporating.
And those things will come up along the way, man. I'm open to trying a lot of things like that, you know, even like Bikram yoga or something, you know. I'm even open to trying that. So.
Yeah.
No, I think definitely heading that direction with that mentality, because you are somebody who it obviously likes having a schedule, having a regimen, but maybe they're geared different, you know. It's all more health and recovery based, you know, versus you know, progressing so hard, you know.
Yeah,
because I think even though you're not like Sal was saying, even though you're not like heavily focused on it's got to be the grind or pushing or gains, ultimately it will result in that. Your body is telling you it needs
just resting.
Yeah.
Right.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Just resting.
But you can only sleep so much, you know what I mean?
Right,
and
right,
for
right.
someone, and I know because I'm like this, Adam's the same way.
Yeah.
Is that when you're such a focused individual, because I mean the listeners need to understand, competing in bodybuilding, first of all, bodybuilding by itself is an extremely selfish sport.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is you're constantly bodybuilding, unlike other endeavors where I'm dedicating 3 hours to it or 4 hours to it. It's 24 hours a day.
It's 24 hours a day, man. I mean,
it's everything.
Everything has a role in bodybuilding that you're doing in your day. Everything affects the package you're going to bring on stage, from the way you sleep to your morning cardio to the supplements you take in the morning to the amount of water you're drinking every day.
Sodium, macros,
everything comes into play. And people say, oh, that's too extreme, or that's, you know, you don't have to be that detailed. Yeah, you do, you know, and especially when you start getting to the pro level, where everybody is that detailed, you know. If you're not keeping up with how detailed things are, you're gonna get lost in the shuffle. You're gonna suck as a pro.
Well, someone just asked me recently about that, and I said, you know, when I was at the amateur level, I'll never forget standing in the back room and seeing all the guys getting ready to get on stage, and you know, seeing a handful. There's 20 guys I think at that show were getting ready to compete against me, and seeing maybe two or three guys, I was like, oh shit, he looks really good. But then the rest of the guys look like, oh, they worked hard, but they got, you know, we're all amateurs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I remember being at the national level show, being over at USA's, and going like, holy fuck, dude, these guys look. Everybody looks sick. Maybe one guy or two guys I thought looked kind of weak sauce, but for the most part, I thought everybody. Then you go to your first pro show. And everybody, like literally everybody looks like the cover of a magazine.
Yeah, everyone's on point.
Yes, everybody, you like all 20 dudes could easily arguably be a first place guy, which they probably were in another show somewhere at another state.
Yeah.
So once you get to that level, and then I can't imagine what Olympia level, it must just be at a much even crazier scale. You have to.
I mean, every single guy backstage for Classic Physique was walking around like rock hard granite.
Yeah.
I mean, symmetrical lines. I mean, there was one point, you know, like bodybuilders lay down backstage and they kick their legs up to keep the blood out of their legs before they get on stage. I was laying down and I watched Danny Hester walk by me, Stan McQuay walk by me, all these other guys walk by me, and you know, I'm looking up and I'm looking at their legs and they're walking, and you just see like every single time they take a step, like
every muscle move,
their granite striations are popping out of their glutes, their hamstrings. I mean, the detail is crazy, you know? I mean, every single guy there was on.
Yeah.
And that's the level that you're playing with.
It's funny because you go watch a bodybuilding show, and watching a bodybuilding show, it doesn't fucking, you can't see that shit. You see that in pictures or if you're up close to people. That's how intricate the details are. It's like if you're five rows back, you can't really tell a big difference. You get up close, you're like, oh, yeah. Holy fuck, this guy's got like way more striations as this guy does. And that's why sometimes you look at the pictures and it makes more sense.
Well, that's also why, and I'm sure Johnny can attest to this, it's kind of annoying when you hear people who try and critique that have no fucking clue what they're talking about when they're looking at like a video or something that's
or
like
a picture on stage.
Yeah, right. Like one angle. It's like you, when you're in person and you're standing next to these people and like the detail that you can see, like most judges will tell you this. Most judges will tell you it's actually more obvious than you think it is. You know, that there's glaring obvious when you turn around and you do a back pose and you stand the five best next to each other, the guy who's dominating everybody, it's just like you said, when you said you saw old boy turn around next to Flex Lewis, it's just like, holy shit, you know, like you see it, you know it, because you know what a badass back looks like. And then when somebody stands right next to that badass back, it either looks really good compared to it or it looks like shit.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing how big you get this year coming up, man. How much size you put on.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
And everyone knows that, you know, the offseason Johnny, he can get really fat and pudgy, you know.
Start speaking in third person.
And one of my goals this year is to just really put on some quality size.
Stay clean.
Stay clean without getting fat. I mean, I've already enjoyed, you know, a lot of the sweets, and I got a lot of the cravings out over the weekend,
I would say.
And this morning, what did I have? I had 3 whole eggs, I had a cup of egg whites, and I had a cup of oats. You know, like that's all I wanted.
Yeah.
And, you know, and today I'm probably going to eat pretty clean, just like that. And, you know, throughout the week or whatever, if friends or family want to take me out to dinner, I'll have it. But I won't be like the old Johnny where it's like throw everything down my mouth to put on size and grow. You know, everything's going to be pretty calculated now, because you know, this cut going into my first year, I came down for like 195 pounds, you know, and a lot of it was body fat, and it sucked to
get. Yeah, you don't want to do that shit again.
It's way more stressful on the body.
Well, before we sign off, now that you're 34, does eating those foods, like post competition foods, doesn't that shit fuck you up, like your stomach and stuff?
Dude, I mean,
Because when you're younger, you eat that shit, you're like, whatever. Yeah. But I know now, I just look at a donut and I'd shit myself.
Major gas, backed up, you know, bowel movements aren't coming like they used to. The last 4 days, it was just like a backed up, you know, can't go like 2 or 3 times a day like I used to. It was just all messed up, you know. So now that I'm 34, man, it's the way of life, and the way that I'm going to eat is just going to be for optimal health, you know.
Excellent.
Yeah.
for sure.
Well, I got you extra large shirts this time. So I think all the years we've known each other, I think I've given you a medium, a large, and now we are to XLs, dude.
XL.
I look forward to bringing you some double XLs.
Double XLs, for sure.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you on, brother.
Always a pleasure, brother.
Definitely. You can find Johnny on Instagram. What's the name of your Instagram?
It's just my name, Johnny Sebastian, one word, JOHNNY. SEBASTIAN.
Check him out there. You can see what he looked like when he competed on the Olympia stage. If you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating review on iTunes. If we pick your review, you will win a free Mind Pump t-shirt. You can also find us at Mind Pump Radio on Instagram. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal, Adam at Mind Pump Adam, and we're missing our host, our co-host Justin. He's not here today, but you can find him on Instagram at Mind Pump Justin. And also, don't forget to check out mindpumpmedia.com.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.